Now joining the program, senior writer for The Athletic, covering the Twins, Dan Hayes. You can find Dan Hayes on Twitter, at DanHayesMLB. Dan, as always, thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it. I got to start by saying I was really loving your bits on Twitter and X about taking spring training a little too seriously. I was really loving that. But on that note, what do you really look for during spring training? You know, what is something that you can actually take away from the first month of the season that you think can actually progress into the regular season?
I think you look for health. I think that's probably the biggest thing, to see where a team comes out of spring training. You look at like Byron Buxton getting through this camp and being out there in center field all the time, something he didn't do last year. And I think we knew last year it sounded, like, okay, we're going to build him up slowly and get him out there eventually. And I remember thinking as the season started, going, how do you build a guy up to play nine innings, like in the outfield, if you've kept him off his feet all of spring training? And like, how do you do that in season while trying to get him out there every day? And as it, it's not easy. Like, that's not something, especially when you consider the state of his legs going into last year. You really can't build up. It's hard to do because they wanted to be so regimented, and you need the time of spring training. You look at somebody like Byron, the fact that he's been out there all spring, it's a great, a statement about where he is going into this season. And I think a lot of people were skeptical that we'd ever see him in center field again after last year. And it looks like that surgery is, doing what it's supposed to, because he's been out there, almost every day or every other day, and looking good. And I think I saw a 9-10 OPS attached to his name after Monday's game. So he's in a really good spot. But on the other side of the coin, you have Anthony DeSclafani and his issues and how they crept, you go into spring training thinking maybe that's a question, and certainly it is. And now the Twins sort of have to, their depth is already being tested at starting pitching. So I think that's the most important thing to come out of spring training. Really, you want rookies to get out there and get experience playing with the major leaguers. You want, guys who are coming back from injury to get on the field and get reps. But for the most part, it's not real until Thursday and that first pitch.
How do you think the players sort of manage that? What do the players try to get out of it? Obviously, they don't want to hurt themselves. And we'll get into the injuries in just a second here. But how do you think the players manage spring training ball as it is?
The younger guys don't have any idea how to manage it. The younger guys are going hard every day. They're trying to make a name for themselves. I think it's a lot easier the second time around this is the third spring training for Edward Julian, but it gets a lot easier those second and third times around. The first time you're just out there trying to make a name and win a job. And, I remember last year in spring training, Matt Wallner was actually pretty realistic about it and said he was a fringe guy at the time. And then, he had a decent spring, but had a really good start to the season and proved himself and got to the majors and had a big impact on this team. So I think, every guy does it differently. The veterans have a really good sense for it. The Carlos Correas know that it's about getting his swing in a place where he's comfortable with it as he heads into the season and is not so worried about, every day pitching or his performance in a game. Mm-hmm. But, if you're a young pitcher trying to make an impression, you're treating it much differently, and it is important. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of it, especially if you're a young guy trying to make a name for yourself. It is important, but for the vast majority of guys, it's something where it's just get your reps in, get your body feeling right, and get ready for the season.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Dan Hayes, writer for The Athletic, covering the Twins, let's get into these injuries, Dan. Last time we spoke, we were both pretty excited about the depth that this bullpen has. The starting rotation was sort of figuring itself out. And then it seemed like everything went in the wrong direction. Thielbar and Duren, they hit the IL. You got Topa now on there to start the season. And, of course, as you mentioned, Anthony DeSclafani. What is the worry level? What's the concern level of those injuries?
Duren, the oblique, that's something that I think, they'll be very careful about, but it's not arm-related. That's great. As long as you're going in and not messing with his arm, and they will take their time because he's such a explosive guy when he's on the mound that I think that you know that you have to be careful with him. And fortunately, this is something where, you know, it's just a side issue and not an arm issue, and that's fine. Caleb Thielbar, he's progressing. It's a hamstring. He's had lower body stuff in the last year. It's caught up to him a little bit. They'll take their time. And last year, it took him a while to get right, but I think the fact that he's throwing again and getting closer towards, you know, action. The one great part about relievers is they don't have as long to build up for as starting pitchers. It definitely is something that, you know, they definitely can manage and hopefully get him there. The great part is Cody Funderburk is ready to step in as a left-hander. I think that they're in a pretty decent spot because they have him and they have Okert, who they got from Miami, in the Nick Gordon trade. So lefty-wise, I think they can handle that. Justin Topa, you know, his issues for his career have typically been arm. I know he's had two Tommy Johns. The fact is, it's knee tendonitis. They got a play jammed at the plate. It's not great. The Twins, they really were counting on him to be a guy. Mm-hmm. Their depth is going to be tested. But, you know, they do have Staumont. They do have Jorge Alcala. They do have Brock Stewart. They do have Griffin Jacks. They have Jay Jackson. I think, you know, if there's one area that you maybe want, that if you could pick one area to be tested over others, I think that bullpen would be the preference. Not that you want to be tested on any of this right. stuff. But it's one area that they can handle it, and we'll see who that eighth guy is who gets the spot. But they have certainly a lot of candidates, and so I think they can maybe absorb this. We'll see how long the knee takes for Topa, because he's been, like I said, a guy who's had injuries throughout his career. Fortunately, this is lower half, and maybe that's not as worrisome as something if it was a upper body. But you know, it's definitely troubling. And DeSclafani is probably the worst. You know, still haven't really heard, but that's not looking great. And given the injury history he's had the last couple of years, you know, I don't know what they can realistically count on out of him. And they were willing to take a shot on him. He came over in that trade from Seattle for Jorge Polanco, but he was sort of that second, third piece in the trade. They really liked the top 100 prospect they got, Gabby Gonzalez. They liked Topa a lot. They liked the financial flexibility that trading Jorge Polanco gave them, and they only spent $4 million to take the shot on DeSclafani, but, you know, that already looks like it could be out the door and wasted money, unfortunately. And maybe something they'll have to address with adding another starting pitcher here if Louis Varland doesn't shake out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're sort of making it seem like he's destined for quite the long stint on the IL there. Is he going to get, like, surgery on that or whatever it is?
You know, I'd be lying if I said that I've not been in camp this week. He was going to see Dr. Meister to get that second opinion, and that is never really a great thing. And, you know, there has been no update, but it was about 7-8 days ago where he was going for further testing. And, you know, last year he had forearm issues. He got a PRP injection, felt good, thought he was coming into camp good. Had a setback early in camp and then started to throw again and was looking okay and looking, you know, the stuff was coming back, but to be shut down again a second time, I would be surprised if we saw him anytime before the All-Star break at this point. I mean, that's total wild speculation, but the fact that you're going to Dr. Meister never is a great thing, and we'll see. I would imagine we hear something shortly about his status.
So what is this back end of the rotation going to look like? You know, I know this team has some high hopes for Paddock. You mentioned Varland. Bailey Ober was never a deep inning type of guy last season. Is that who we can expect to play the bulk of the back end of this rotation?
Yeah, I mean, look, you're looking at – I think Ober is really good. I mean, you look at what he did last year. Mm-hmm. He's got almost 300 innings in the majors. And in that 300 innings, he's got a 3.63 ERA. But last year, you're right, like probably about a 5-6 guy. When you're looking at the third spot in the rotation, the fourth spot in the rotation, you can handle that. They're going to have to figure out a way to – I just don't know how they're going to get more than 120 innings out of Chris Paddock in the regular season, because they want him to pitch in October too. And I think they expect a lot from him in those 120 innings. it's just going to come down to, can they preserve him throughout the year? Give him extra days that he's going to need. We saw it with Kenta Maeda coming back. I think that Paddock going into this season is much further along than Kenta Maeda was going into last season. I don't think that, you know, I think Kenta Maeda was searching for it going into the regular season last year. There were some rough starts late in spring training and some really rough ones in April. I don't think Paddock's on that same path. I think he's much healthier having pitched in the majors last year. So that part is good, but they're still going to need to manage that workload. And that's definitely a concern. Louis Varland, I think, is built for the fifth spot. I think his inning load shouldn't be a problem. And, you know, he's a strong guy. He's thrown a lot of innings in the minors before. It's not like he would be going to this new level and like having to discover, you know, how to throw 160 innings. You know, he's been the minor league pitcher of the year twice for them in the two previous seasons, 21 and 22. And, you know, in those years, 126 innings in 2022 coming out of the pandemic, him getting to 150 does not seem like a stretch for me. It's whether or not he can be effective enough. Mm-hmm. And his two-seam fastball to right-handers is going to play a big role there. But Joe Ryan is primed to take a step forward. I know that he has high expectations for himself. That would be a huge step for them. You look at where he was towards the end of June last year before the injury. He was on the way to an all-star berth. Mm-hmm. I think he had a 289 ERA after that shutout against Boston. He looked great. And then he fell off the face of the earth. And what they have to do is figure out how to prevent him from doing that again. Because if he can be, you know, even a 3.5 ERA kind of guy, and you have him, Pablo Lopez, Bailey Ober as your first three pitchers, you're in really good shape. And you can absorb 4 and 5, mm-hmm. Whatever you're able to get out of those guys. Because I think this offense is going to be a lot better than it has been in the past. And more some typical of what we saw in the second half. You know, Royce mm-hmm. Lewis is ready to go on opening day. Carlos Correa doesn't have plantar fasciitis right now. Edward Julian is a fixture in the lineup now. Byron Buxton is in center field. He didn't play center field all last year. I think when you think about all those things, this offense should be potent, and it should be able to maybe mask some of those issues towards the back of the rotation.
Mm-hmm. We've been sort of focusing on the negatives here, but the big positive coming out of camp is you do have a healthy offense, and this offense looks to be, you know, electric. What can you say about Jose Miranda? Is he going to start in the minors? Is he going to start on the bench? More of a role player, more of a utility player? You know, those sort of names that maybe aren't going to crack the everyday lineup, but still could be big pieces. Who comes to mind there?
Yeah, Miranda is going to start in the minors unless there's some kind of roster surprise. Look, there's no space, and that's a great problem to have. Mm-hmm. Trevor Larnach, I think, would be your starting right fielder on a lot of teams, and he's going to start in the minors. Their Triple A lineup is loaded with depth, so much so that they had trouble signing minor league free agents because guys looked at the spots and said, "Where am I going to play?" You know, and there's some guys down there that we haven't publicized as much because they just really have little chance of making it. But, you know, a guy like Chris Williams, who their catcher first baseman down there, if he was anything more of a catcher, he'd be in the majors. His bat's that good, but he's, you know, more of a first base guy. You look at throughout that group, there's some good bats. Junior Severino, who had a rough spring, but Austin Martin's going to start in the minors. These are all guys that I think the Twins felt like if they had to bring them up could give them some real depth, and maybe will help with trade pieces, you know, mm-hmm. as we to see how they solve the rotation if that becomes an issue, you know, like you maybe suspect it will be. And I think they're in a good spot in that way. Miranda had a really good spring and showed a lot of things that he struggled with last year, and I really think the shoulder injury, he tried to downplay that it hurt his bat, but I think it really hurt his bat. We know it hurt his throwing. He couldn't throw at all and had to have surgery towards the end of the year. But he had always said it wasn't his bat. Well, everybody's talked about cleaned up mechanics and how much better he looks. And you don't have to go back too far, you know, to 2022 to think, man, Jose Miranda was a run producer in the middle of that lineup. He's a guy that could put the bat on the ball. He has elite bat-to-ball skills. And that certainly could play. And I wouldn't be shocked at all if he can come up and make an impact with this team. But, you know, you could say that about three or four guys at AAA. And that's a good place to start because this team has a really strong foundation between, you know, the guys we've mentioned, Buxton, Lewis, and Correa. I mean, that trio, if they can stay healthy, is an electric trio and one of the best three, you know, position mm-hmm. player groups in the majors. And that should carry them if they can, you know, keep that health. But we know with Byron what the big questions always are, and whether or not he can stay out there is key. And but, you know, I think the Twins are well built to handle that, and that's why they got Manny Margot in that trade a month ago. And it's a well built position side with some questions on the position or pitching side.
Mm-hmm. Very exciting stuff indeed. Dan Hayes, writer for The Athletic, covering the Twins. Dan, thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it. As always, you can find Dan on Twitter @DanHayesMLB. Thanks again, Dan. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks for having me on.